Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for inviting me, or basically thank you for joining me here for another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, where basically today's topic has to do with No Stopping Me Now. Now, I'm waiting on the pastor to join on. Pastor Dan is still, and I'm laughing at his message. So we're going to give him a few minutes to join and log on so he can join us on the air today. Last week, we talked about don't sit on your gift. Now, today we're kind of piggybacking, following up in regards to that because today's topic has to do with no stopping me now. So let me log Pastor on. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments. How are you doing?
Good morning. God bless you. It's a happy Tuesday. We're glad to be here.
I know. Wait a minute. I'm laughing at your text message. 40th slip. I've been having a whole bunch of those today. Some people call it a senior moment, but I'm not at the senior moment part. But the 40th slip, yeah, I've been tight-tongued. I couldn't think. I couldn't function. I'm just like, wow. And as you notice, I didn't put the stuff out till this morning because by the time you was laughing at my text last night, I'm sitting up there. I said, forget it. I'm going to sleep. I can't even think no more. So I set my alarm to wake up at 5:30 because I was trying to come up with information. And as you see, it is real short. So I'm going to read the episode description, and it says, last week we talked about not sitting on your gift. We're seeing that many believers are being placed in positions for a reason. They are exceeding beyond belief. Some would call it luck. Others would say that it's their education or who they knew in regards to how they got to where they are. However, when one has the favor of God, nothing and no one can stop them, which brings us
to our topic
today, no stopping me now. So I'm going to let you take the floor with this because I am just tight-tongued today.
Well, I just wanted to start with, the show today is to empower believers, and there's a real need for that right now because there seems to be an imbalance in the world, and we want believers to understand that God has blessed us twofold, and the first part of the blessing is to advance the kingdom, and God has blessed us, and God has empowered us, and God has given us capabilities for the purpose of advancing the kingdom, which is connected to his purpose. But within his purpose are blessings that are beyond our wildest imaginations. And so we have to understand also that God has gifted us and blessed us so we can have some blessings on this side of the world also. And so the old saints used to believe that this was a tedious life, a tedious journey, so much pain to endure on this side. But when we go up the stairs, when we get to the upper room, so to speak, when we get to heaven, there is going to be blessing. And so we want the believer to understand that even though the Bible says we are pilgrims here and this world is not our permanent home, while we are here, though, the Lord does want to see us blessed. The Lord does want to see us prosper. And prosper to have a good life and provide a good life for our family members and our loved ones to enjoy the best of this life, knowing that there is better life to come in the kingdom, okay, and also to advance his kingdom. And so we take out pride, selfishness. We take out covetousness. We take away all those things, okay, and we learn to enjoy what the Lord has blessed us with. Now, the important part of this for us to understand is that so many people see people that aren't saved, and it seems like they are getting blessed so much. And so they seem as if you know, the enemy is blessing his people more than God is blessing his people, and that just isn't so. And so we want the people to understand this. You know, in social media this morning, there's a big article going around about the city of San Francisco where that if you're making six figures, which used to be the mark back in the day. If you're making over a six-figure salary, you've made it. But now, in the city of San Francisco, in certain parts of L.A., certain parts of San Diego, certain parts of New York, six figures, they're calling that poverty. And that's
yep.
man. And that is man. And so we are not to look for man for our distinction. We're not to look for man's rating for our happiness. We're to look to God for our happiness. And so those are some of the things that we want to clarify on today. So for the believer, we want to empower them today. We want to let them know that God has your back and that mm-hmm. your purpose is going to be fulfilled, your dreams are going to come to fruition, and God has not forgotten about us, and that we shouldn't, you know, look at what the natural man is doing. Look at how Satan is advancing his kingdom and with his people, because they're paying a price for that, okay? And so that's our opening statement. We're ready to take questions and to take calls from the listeners. And this is an exciting show today. I'm very excited about it. And so any questions?
Okay. I got a caller that I need to talk on. But I want to say this. When we're talking about being placed in position, and not only position of power, but also learning not to abuse your power. Because when we had the caller on last week, she was talking about real estate. And I told her that I was very proud of her because I remember when she shared her excitement. And sometimes we talked a little bit about with jealousy, and people get a little jealous, and some jealousy is good only if it encourages you or empowers you to do better yourself by saying, if they can do it, I can do it too. And a lot of times we look at people and, you know, we assume that they have certain things, and, you know, you don't know what it's like to live in their shoes. I was talking to a person the other day, and they were talking about the young man that had committed suicide and how many people thought that his life was so together but didn't know what he was going through. And sometimes we need an outlet. But I want to say in regards to that also, I know this morning when I woke up and I was looking at the Supreme Court justice ruling, and I'm like, oh, my God, no, they didn't just do this. And it kind of made me take a step back and say, you know what, I should have went on and went to law school. I should have got that law degree. By now I'm old enough to where I could have been sitting on the Supreme Court by now, you know, went through the circuit courts or whatever the case may be, because we need individuals that are believers to start not only letting their light shine, but helping others by not, you know, I like Psalm 37 when it says the righteous will not be forsaken or a seed begging bread, and the wicked will be cast down. And it goes back to what you were saying in regards to when we're looking at blessing to enhance the kingdom, and when we're looking at individuals that are, you know, look like they're prospering, and it's like, but where's their heart? Where's their compassion? Because there's a lot of stuff going on. Let me log on this caller. Give me one second. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? I know you on there, and because I see your phone number. Okay. So, wait a minute, Pastor. I don't know if you listened to my show yesterday, but it was quite interesting because I was on the show by myself, and I don't like to listen to myself talk. Somebody called me on the show and called me the N-word. And I knew something was funny with the call when I clicked on, so I clicked them off. And I had to do the James Brown. First of all, I had to say, call me Miss N. If you're going to call me the N-word, make sure you respect me when you call me that. And then I had to break out and do like James Brown. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. I couldn't believe
Amen.
It. Well, I can say I couldn't believe it because they did it. They took it there. And I was talking to Miss Park, and I was sharing it with her. She said, baby, I don't know if I could have kept my composure, because if they would have did that to me, I would have just lost it. I said, no, I didn't mean to do that. I just had to let them know I'm black and I'm proud.
So let me respond to that. We have to understand how to handle criticism when it comes to our goals, when it comes to what the Lord has given us, and to understand our path to success. And so Zerubbabel in the Old Testament was given an assignment for the Lord to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And when he started building, He had to encourage the people, because oftentimes we can't do great things by ourselves. We need help. Mm-hmm. And as he began to do that, then all the critics came. And the mm-hmm. critics came from all different directions. They'll come from silent critics like you that want to identify themselves, which we get a lot on social media now. They came from mm-hmm. within. They came from his neighbors. And so what he had to tell them was that I have a great work. I cannot come down. The Lord has given me assignment. I am focused, and I'm going about my task. And then within no time, the Bible says that they completed their task ahead of schedule because they were focused. And so mm-hmm. when people are focused, when we are focused, okay, no one can stop us. I have seen people with insurmountable odds succeed. And mm-hmm. so this is people saved and unsaved. And for the believer to do it with God-given talents and to have the Holy Spirit on our side, if we're focused, there's no stopping us. One of my favorite mm-hmm. pastors, I love to hear Bishop Noel Jones, I'm going to quote him. He says that God has blessed us. We're too gifted to be broke. We're too gifted mm-hmm. to be left out. We're too gifted to be depressed. We're too gifted to be left behind. And so anything that God has given us, that he's blessed us with according to our several abilities, you know, the only way the devil can stop the believer is to have the believer stop themselves. And that's correct. What's happening to a lot of people now. People are self-ejecting. People are stifling their gifts. And believers, saved people. And because we fret when crisis comes our way, when predicament comes our way, when we're dealing with life issues. And so mm-hmm. we have to remember that the Lord told us in his word, he said, I will put no more on you than you can bear. And so the believers have to understand that, that God is not going to put no more on us, okay, on us mm-hmm. than we can bear. And with that, he says that he will provide a way of escape, okay? And so when we know the word, when we put the word in our heart, okay, we are unstoppable. So mm-hmm. the opposite side of that is that the enemy knows what will rile us, what will tickle our fancy, so to speak, and get us riled up, and he'll try to play that against you to stop you from your focus. And we have to learn how to identify those things and not allow them to stop us and be like Zerubbabel, stay focused and complete our task. And when we complete a task, I want to tell a believer this. We have to understand, celebrate your achievements. No matter how great or how small, they are your achievements. And allow people to celebrate with you, because that gives you the boost and the motivation to accomplish the next step. Okay? It's built mm-hmm. into our minds. It's built into our souls. And that's why the Lord allows for certain celebrations. And we're in that season right now, and I have seen so many saints that are going back to school to get their degrees, to get their doctorates, to get higher education. And this is so inspiring. And not only are they just getting the education, like we talked about last week, they're writing books. They're taking that education. They're taking those degrees to the next level. They're getting jobs. And it's hard to deny us, okay, as believers, mm-hmm. as individuals, when we've accomplished those achievements that propel us to the next step. And so that's what God correct. Wants us to do, to be in a place where we cannot be denied. When you put yourself in a situation where you can't be denied, success is yours. I heard from mm-hmm. the gospel concert at Del Mar Fair on Gospel Night, the new gospel single that's out says, every time I look up, I'm winning. Every time I look up, I'm winning. Winning, 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 winning. And so I heard someone say that even if you haven't got the victory, you still sing it. Sing it. Get mm-hmm. it in your spirit. Get it in your mind. Get it in your soul. See yourself as a winner, and then pretty soon you'll see yourself winning.
Correct. You know, Pastor, I want to say when it happened yesterday, I thought to myself, I said, wow, the devil listening to the show too. So we might as well give him something to talk about. You know, hey, if this is where you want to be, you got an hour. I also want to say, as you were speaking, talking about the Del Mar Fair and talking about the gospel concert, I have in front of me Tamela Mann. She wrote a song in her lyrics in regards to Gotta Keep Moving. She says in her song, ain't nothing gonna stop me now. Gotta keep moving till I reach higher ground. My soul won't rest, the spirit won't let me. It says, I won't be stopped by the enemy. I'm determined to run on and see what the end is gonna be. Heaven is a place promised to me. I gotta keep moving because I wanna see Jesus. And part of that is when we talk about the believers and no stopping me now. And I shared with the caller last week that basically my philosophy has always been, I'm going to do the right thing no matter what. So I don't let no one discourage me. And one of the things that I want to say thank you for is I remember when I was attending your church, even years ago, when you would say delayed but not denied. Because a lot of times as believers, we get discouraged and we give up because somebody told us no. And I had to go back to being a child, and I remember my mother would tell me no. She told me no was the answer, just like yes. I used to say, I don't like no. I don't like being told no. I'm going to figure it out, which is what my daughter always tell me, figure it out, figure it out. So a lot of times, like you said, and I always, even when I was coaching, because I used to coach basketball and softball and all that stuff, I used to tell my kids that it's not only physical, it's also psychological. Sometimes we take ourselves out of the game. I have another caller calling, knocking on, let me lock them on, see what this is. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Good morning. Yes. This is Charlene Fleming. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good morning.
So what
good
do you
morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're blessed.
We're doing well. We're blessed. What
Amen.
Do you want to
I'm sorry for being tardy this morning. I had some calls, so I'm sorry about that.
Amen.
We understand. So what do you want to add to this topic as we talk about no stopping me now?
Oh, no stopping me now? I mean, you know, that's the good. I remember that was the theme. That was the theme song at one of the ministries.
Ain't no stopping me now.
Ain't no stopping me now. I'm on the move.
It was funny because when I was Googling it, all I kept coming up with was that song. I was like, I need more information. I just need the song. You know, but you know what? When you think of a song, you praise, you rejoice, and you testify because it's a testimony. And that was what I was looking at as I was putting it together is when we say no stopping me now, we're talking about a testimony. We're talking about what we went through to get to where we are, and you can't stop me now.
And it's not in
a way of being arrogant or being conceited. It's when you have the favor of God, God can open doors that no man can close. So even if you try to put this in my way, I'm going to get through it.
Amen.
Now, somebody got a lot of background noise. So I don't know if it's you or if it's Lady T on there, because I know that's her number. But I can hear a lot of background noise. Okay. Now, Pastor, let's talk about and go into details, because I know you indicated in regards to when we look at individuals that are not, say, being blessed so much, we kind of get discouraged because we think if they got it or if they did it and they didn't believe and they – but you know what? The bottom line is you don't want to be like JoJo down the street. You know, you have to find and make your own way. So, Pastor, what can you do to encourage individuals? Because I have to tell the people, even when me – because I'm a licensed therapist and I own a drug and alcohol program. And what I tell the clients is I've never did drugs. I've never been high. I've never been drunk. So I've always wanted to be in control of what's going on around me. So my piece to them is I have to teach them how to be sober like they try to convince me why they like being high. So what do you say to the believers to keep them on this journey or the non-believers that may want to cross over? Because if they're looking at with the drug disease, if you're looking at them, it's like, why should I do this?
Yeah. A good reading for the believer is Psalms 37. And it starts out, fret not thyself because of evildoers. But it's this passage that is powerful. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And so I did a study with my youth when I was a youth pastor, and in that study I learned so much about myself. This was years ago, that a lot of the people who they envied and a lot of people who we celebrate in the history of the United States got their wealth by doing evil deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the laws are in place now, antitrust laws and different things, because of the evil practices that these people use. And so people wouldn't understand that some of the famous names that we quote, this and that, killed people for contracts, killed people for land deals, the oil barons, the railroad barons, and the curses that were placed upon their lineage. How many of the Kennedy youth were killed, young men, because of the different, you know, all the thirst for greed, the thirst for wealth, the thirst to make a name in this place. And the Lord tells us to fret not ourselves because of it. And then the next verse, he says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." And so it brings to mind for us being compatible. There's a thirst in this capitalistic society of the United States that enough is not enough. And so this corporate counterculture is just built upon just greed and wealth. We can't pay our CEOs enough. And so our CEO is paid more than yours. And this money is so evil that they don't even take care of the base employees that are really driving the wealth for the higher people. And so they don't understand that they're making one of the biggest, you know, threats in our country right now, which is class division. When you do away with the middle class, okay, you create a lot of turmoil in the country, because the middle class is what supports the economy the most. And what we have to understand this is that I'm not going to sell my soul just to look rich in front of somebody. We have to learn to be compatible in our house. Oh, but my house is not bigger than my neighbor's. Now I need two houses. Now I need a summer house. I need a vacation house. Oh, now I need a house in Europe. Now I need my island. And now I need my jet. We have pastors, you know, mega pastors fighting over who has the biggest jet in this. And we lose sight over what's really important. And we have to understand this, that the church can't mirror itself after the world. The church has to mirror itself after Christ. And when we do that, we understand that once the Lord has empowered us, now we help to empower other people. And so when believers are making Christ their, you know, goal that they should reach for and not other people in the world, then we won't see so much of this problem. And so we can't see, you know, our artists trying to make their songs like world artists. We can't see these mega pastors trying to make their churches look like worldly theaters. And a lot of churches are conforming to the dress now of the world. We see this. We hear these things. And so God is not pleased with these things. And so the Lord tells us in Revelations in the second chapter how he's not pleased with it, how the church has so much now. They have everything except him. And we have to be real careful of that, because we're talking about success. And so when we talk about success, we can't model that success after the success of the world. We have to model that success after Christ. So this is what happened to ancient Israel and got it in trouble. This is what happened to Rome. This is what happened to other societies. When we get so debased that when we try to top everybody else, okay? If we want to be better than somebody else, try to be more Christ-like. Try to be more moral. Mm-hmm. Try to be more giving. And that's what the Lord is telling us in the rest of this verse, okay? That's what the believer should strive for. In the seventh verse, he says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently on him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, they're not going to last. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." And that is what's going to happen if all you see in front of you is it, as the path to success is money, 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 and the devil will try to justify it. I have seen believers try to justify it. I am going to go into crime. I'm going to do this wrong for a season, and then when I get my money, I'm going to come back into the kingdom right. And they never make it back in because there is a price to pay for the world's wealth.
Jesus.
Well, you know I wrote that down already. I got a little highlights by it because you know that's next week's topic. And you added to it when you said for the world, you know, the paying a price. So that was going to be my topic for next week. So I just want you to know that because you said it more than once. So that's confirmation. But, you know, scripture that you read, Pastor, is a scripture that I stand on. And I've stood on it for years because I will never forget when I was going through, when I bought the company in Orange County, and they were giving me pure D hell, and I couldn't figure out why. And my mother told me, she said, baby, she said, you're trying to help those that they really don't want help. You are going against what they want done. And I didn't understand because I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do. But every single one of them are all gone. Everyone,
yes.
From the top to the
every
bottom.
Every one of them.
And I'm just like, wow, when it says that the righteous will not be forsaken nor a seed big as bread, and they will be cast down, and you're talking about evildoers, that is so true, but it's not going to happen in our time. It's in God's time. Now, I want you to go into something, Pastor, when we talk about the favor of God, because a lot of times individuals think that that's a myth. And sometimes individuals get it confused whether it's their gift, is it their talent, is it somebody they know, meaning what is meant by the favor of God? And some people want to know, well, how can I get the favor of God? What would you say to individuals? I'm hearing the background noise again. I don't know if that's you, Charlena, or if it's him, but it's a lot of background noise.
I'm calling from my house phone. My landfall.
Okay, that must be Tammy. So I just mute her because she don't want to talk. Okay.
Okay. So, when we talk about favor, we have to understand that favor is closely related to grace. And when we talk about that, we have to understand that the believer, in order to get favor, has to fully trust in God. I'm saying this slow because I want the people to get this. And because favor is not something that you can tangibly see. Favor is a demonstration in one's life by the blessings of the Lord when a believer truly gives their faith unto the Lord. And when we do this and trust in God in all situations, God is going to do it. I'm gonna give you an example, just because I know your testimony, Jeanette. During your situation when they came against you and against your business, you had a lot of ideas on how you could handle it yourself. And thank God that you trusted in the Lord and God gave you favor. And so what I want to tell the believer to understand is that our test comes from haters. Our test comes from Satan himself, and our test comes from God. And so God will test you to see if he can trust you with his favor. And God will put the enemy on you to test you, and the enemy oftentimes will inspire your haters to come and test you. And what we have to understand is that God is not going to have something be on you more than you can bear. And what we have to understand is that he's going to provide a way of escape. Now, the older we live, the wiser we are, and when we've gone through situations, the Lord gives us an experience. And an experience leads to a testimony. And that's what we should understand. And for me, I go all the way back to my childhood, how the Lord blessed in different situations and how the Lord gave me his favor. And so from a simple story of because of my grades and because of favor from the teacher, I often found myself in situations and outings with rich kids. And what happened is that I oftentimes didn't have the money they had. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And And I remember on several occasions, I'm like, Lord, here I am with these people. We're here in this fancy place, and I got $5, and they got hundreds of dollars. And I looked down one time and found $40. And I said, look at God.
Get their favor.
And but I could have, you know, said, well, I can't go. I don't have the money. I don't have the clothes. And the Lord just blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And another situation where when the Lord had opened the doors for me to get a job with a Fortune 50 company, this is the 50 top companies in the world. And the Lord blessed me with the interview. I went through this interview, that interview. And here I am in the final interview. I'm sitting there, and God had opened doors. And while I was there, they tried to intimidate me. Mm-hmm. These people are sitting around me with master's degrees, with doctorates in finance and economics, and I'm sitting here with my degree from a state university, and they're talking about, you know, Wharton School of Business and, you know, USC School of Business, and they're in their $2,000 suits, $1,500 suits, and these are young men. We're all in our early 20s, and I'm sitting here in barely a suit. Come on. And so you start to get intimidated, and you start to have fear, and you start to see around you. And so the Lord reminded me of how far He brought me, and then I got the job. And so out of all those 15 candidates, I sat there and I interviewed, and I asked him, because I wanted to know, why did I get the job? And he said, out of all these people, you worked yourself through college, through two jobs, you caught the bus, you know, you paid for your education, you don't have no student loan. And I didn't know that all those things had worked in my favor. I'm going through work, and this man answered me questions. I'm just answering the interview. And he said, we want to hire people with a work ethic. We don't want to hire people with a silver spoon in their mouth and think coming in the door privilege and asking for favor.
And so
what happened was that God will demonstrate His favor. But oftentimes, what I'm trying to say is people, we don't show up to get the blessing because we allow the enemy to intimidate us and not to walk toward our blessing, not to walk toward our favor and our miracle. And so, you know, David didn't allow his circumstances and situations to stop him from going toward Goliath. We all know the story, but there's so much more behind it. There was intimidation from the enemy. There was intimidation from Goliath himself. But he received his biggest intimidation and hatred from his own camp, from his own brothers. Yep. And what we have to understand is all of those tests come together from all those different sides. Because God wants to see. God wants to see, will you face it? Will you go through it? Even though God already knows He's going to give us the victory. And so it's with the same thing. Anything good that the believer wants, okay, we're going to have to face it. We're going to have to fight it. And so let me quickly bottom line it by saying favor doesn't mean it's free.
That's good, Pastor.
That's another topic.
So many believers want God to just lay it in their lap.
Yeah.
Okay. You gonna have to go to school and get that degree. God gonna keep you awake. God gonna bless the answers that come to your mind when you study it. Mm-hmm. God's gonna bless you to be able to get the loans and to pay them off. God's gonna bless you to get the job if you go forward. But He wants us to do our part. So we have an ingredient. Mm-hmm. In the midst of favor.
Correct. And you know what, and Pastor, what you just said, you know, it's interesting because I'm looking at something that indicates that the Lord is happy to favor those who love Him so He can protect them, connect with them, and guide them. It's so funny because I remember when I was going through, one of the women had told me they would have secret meetings about me but wouldn't invite me to the meeting, nor did they want to talk to me. Because I'm not afraid of nothing I can see. And I can connect with individuals from all walks of life. If you take me to Compton, you take me to Watts, you take me to the White House, it doesn't matter.
All right.
I know how to adapt. And individuals don't know that, and they underestimate me. And that's where they get in trouble. But you got to be careful when you underestimate a believer, because we don't have to bag or boast about who we are, because most of us are humble. We're quiet, we're cooperative, but yet they are so afraid. Now, when we start talking about that and just guidance and to guide them, and that goes back to Psalms 37:23 and in Proverbs 3:5-6. But it also indicates that, unfortunately, those who have favor with the Lord still will suffer. And ultimately,
mm-hmm.
those who have seemingly perfect lives do not always have God's favor. So that's
mm-hmm.
where we get confused, because we're looking at what they got, not realizing how they got it. Some people don't care, but you got to be careful with that. You really got to be careful. And a lot of times we focus so much on money, and the money is the root of all evil. But I tell individuals, I was talking to my accountant yesterday because he butt-dialed me. And I called him back. I said, did you butt-dial me? And I told him, I said, I know I got to get my stuff to you, which I still do. But it was funny. He said, you got all that money. That's why I ain't heard from you. I said, no, it ain't. I said, I don't even know how much money I make every month because I don't care. I don't even think about money. Don't fascinate me. I tell an individual, I've done more with no money than I would if I would have said, I'm saving to buy a business, I'm saving to buy a car. I don't be saving to do nothing. I just do it because God gives me the favor, and now I have to learn how to be patient
mm-hmm.
and wait on it and not
Amen.
Get myself caught up in stuff. Like I said, because I remember when my mother told me, baby, you are $1 million in debt. I didn't even know it until she told me. And that was just in real estate. But see,
yes.
now I'm wiser. I know how to implement wisdom. I know not to just be so impulsive that I got to, you know, take care of all of that mess. But for those
well,
that
now,
are out there that want to start their business, that want to
yes.
write a book, there's so
yes.
much you can do. You just have to
so
walk in faith.
Yes. You just led into the second part of the equation about favor. And favor is not allowing yourself to be disqualified too. And what that means is that so many times God wants to bless us, and then the believers squandered their blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to use the word sabotage too. And so there's several examples of this, but I've seen through counseling. And what happens is, believers hanging around the wrong people, they get arrested. They're innocent, but they're guilty by association. And they get
mm-hmm.
things on their record, and now
yeah.
they can be handicapped. Now they can be handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Believers don't take care of their personal information. I tell people all the time, if you don't have a safe in your home, get a safe deposit box. You allow people to get your Social Security number, your credit card, other things, ruin your credit, or they do it themselves, and it makes it harder for us to get basic necessities and things that we need to advance ourselves in a position to receive the favor of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Other times we handicap ourselves because we don't sleep properly, we don't eat properly, and we do destructive things to our body. And then we think the Lord is going to automatically bless us still because we didn't take care of our credit. Bless us still because we done, you know, messed up our record. Bless us still because, you know, we're in bad health and all these things. Can God still use you? Yes, but he doesn't
mm-hmm.
get the ultimate out of you, and you don't get the ultimate favor out of this life because of it. And so
mm-hmm.
did God get his ultimate means from Samson? Yes. Is it a good story for us, for believers? Yes. But the story is of squandered gift and squandered favor. And we can look back and we can see, what if this boy who was born a Nazarite, who parents raised him in the right way, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And who set out to be one of the best judges of all of Israel at the time, if he had not, and so he allowed the enemy to deceive him. And everyone said, well, he was tricked, he was that. No, he was deceived of his own devices. And what happened is that, was the favor of the Lord upon him powerfully? Yes. But wisdom was lacking on his part. And so
mm-hmm.
he went through his time when the Lord, through a season of correction, and then the Lord brought him back and was able to use him again, but he didn't have his sight anymore. And he wasn't able to enjoy fully the blessing and all the purpose that God had for him. And that's what we want believers to understand. I want people to understand that. Don't live beneath your means. Don't live beneath God's standard. Reach for the top. Go and get it. God has it for us. And it doesn't matter the circumstances and the situations that we start with. It matters that when we become responsible, that we learn to make right decisions every day and each day. And so some of us are born into circumstances and situations that we had no power over, but the Lord allows us to correct those situations. But then when he puts us in a position of favor to be purposeful in the kingdom, we have to not squander those opportunities.
And you know what, Pastor, it's interesting when you just said don't live beneath your means, because we were taught to live above our means, which some would call the ghetto rich or ghetto fabulous. And the sad part about that is it's that attitude. A lot of us have that ghetto project attitude, even when they have money. So a lot of times, whether you are a believer or non-believer, you got to check your attitude, because many of us don't understand that process of surrendering, humbling yourself. We let our pride get in the way, and that's our biggest downfall, and that will it will lead to self-sabotage.
Yes.
I agree completely. It's so powerful for us to understand that as believers, and understand and not allow ourselves to get in the way of our blessing, and then not look to point the finger now to other people. And so
correct. Blame is another one.
Right.
We blame God. I tell people we blame God, we blame Obama, and then we blame Jeanette. So I'll be like, I can take it, whatever. You know what? It's funny because Tammy and I, we going through this text war right about now over the background noise. Tammy said, it must be the devil. She said, I'm on mute too. She said, that's the devil.
because that's what happens when there is an instrument, and in this case, this podcast, this broadcast, it's Satan's job to shut it down. It's his job to try to get in the way. It's his job to try to cause interference. But long as people are purposeful, use wisdom, and know that we're doing something for the kingdom, the devil can never shut you down.
Uh-huh.
And that's what believers need to understand. And so I don't need to try and compare this to, let's say, Daystar or TBN or something there. God bless them. Peace be with you. And I'm enriched and I'm empowered by those, you understand? But they started from some place. And so, and that's what the believers have to understand. When I had my brokerage, I wasn't trying to be like a huge corporation, but the Lord blessed me on my level to empower, to hire, okay, and to build the kingdom. We did things, great things, and the same thing with church and the same thing with teaching. And so whatever instrument, whatever mode of blessing that the Lord puts you on, mode of purpose that the Lord puts you on, excel to reach the height that the Lord gives you. And he will also give you what I call within wisdom, discernment to make the right decision. Because when people see you begin to go somewhere, they want to glean on your success. They want to piggyback. They want to, come in and see what they can get. They want to try and get an easy way for them to get to success. If people see that you've broken down a door, then they say, well, let me go through it with Jeanette now. And Jeanette, now this door was hard enough for me to break down. You go break down to some people you can allow to follow you, and some you can't because they're there to sabotage you and to take what God has blessed you with. And so God will give us discernment on this journey to success, on this journey, this move of no stopping us now. You know, some people are with you for a reason, some with you for a season. Some are with you for you to glean from, and we have to understand when a door is open, when a door is shut, and we have to see those things through Christ Jesus, through wisdom and through discernment, and that's part of us getting our blessing.
And you know what, Pastor, and that is so true, because I was just realizing when I was, because now I'm dealing with these landlord issues and I know I need to do things differently, because I'm working out of 5 offices and I've helped individuals. When people come to me and they say, Jeanette, I want to own my own company, or I want to go into this field, or I want to open up a drug or alcohol program, I don't mind teaching and helping other people. Even one of the ladies, I've been sharing a lot of your stuff with her, because she just loves your preaching, and which the lady that I was telling you about the church in San Diego, and she told me, she said, Jeanette, you're so nice. And I'm thinking, everybody don't think I'm nice. Some people think I'm a bully. But I don't mind helping people. I really don't. But I also know when people are coming trying to, you know, hang on my shirt tail or leech, or I have a discernment. I know. You don't even have to open up your mouth. God, go show me. And a lot of people don't realize that, because some people are just so blinded. And they don't realize you can get your own. You can do it if you want to. But you don't want to be up early in the morning, going to bed late at night like I do, and trying to figure all this stuff out. Because sometimes I don't even know how I do it. But I do it because of the favor of God. I don't. I was laughing this morning when I saw your text. I said, he texted me while I'm trying to go to sleep. You know, I'm like, I set my alarm. I was like, let me get up early in the morning. Let me figure this stuff out. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I have clients doing my recordings, you know, because they all want to be involved and helped. And I'm grateful for that. I'm very grateful. And that's what people don't understand when you're looking at a person that owns businesses and doing all of that stuff. I mean, and I do try to make sure that I spend time with family, my church family, like I said, Ms. Parks and I, we hung out last night to almost midnight. I was freaking exhausted, but we had a good time. So I still do that, because no matter what, don't ever think you're too big for God, or don't ever think once you've been elevated that you should not be humble, because we take things for granted.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a believer, we have to understand that and not think that we're doing this of ourselves. We have to understand that the Lord will keep blessing us as long as we're humble, as long as we give him the praise, the thanksgiving for what he's doing. And as long as we exalt the Lord, God is going to always do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think, you know, Ephesians 3:20. And the part about that I like the best is the last part of that verse that says, according to the power that worketh in us. This is the Holy Spirit that's working in believers, and God is always, I'm going to use the analogy of saying not one or two, but God is always light years ahead of where we think we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it's too much for the believer. Oftentimes we read scriptures and we get caught up in them at the moment of a message, but we don't take them to heart and chew on them. And when you take that to heart and understand it, God is saying, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us. That is connecting trust, faith, belief, determination, all those things together in God. It has us seeing in not the natural, but in the supernatural. And you can only do that through the Holy Spirit. Now, people will think you crazy. Okay? Here come that dreamer. Here comes that crazy person. And so after God does a move, then somebody going to walk up to you and say, well, we knew God was going to bless you. We knew you was going to do this and that. And some of those people are the biggest distractors. And some of those people are the ones that are talking about you, but you can't pay attention to them. You know, as we were building ministry and went out my first 2 years of being a senior pastor, I'll never forget it. We were so busy with programs and doing things and food ministry and outreach ministry, so many things, just busy, busy, busy. And after the first 2 years, because I know those are the toughest 2 years. And I finally, like, let me exhale. And some of the people came around, different ones, and said, do you know that people were, like, he ain't going to never make it. They ain't going to never do this. They ain't going to never go nowhere. And they said, you know, you didn't ever talk, you didn't ever hear that. I said, no, I never heard it. I didn't need to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God that he blocked it because we were so busy. And that's what happens to people who will allow God to do exceedingly abundantly in them. When you have your eye on the prize, God will keep you aware of things that are important, but God will keep the enemy at bay as long as you're keeping him first.
Yeah,
God allows some attacks that will spur you on to your miracle and to your blessing, like deadlines. God will give you deadlines, and those are to push you. Yes.
Okay, Pastor, I have a question, and it indicates, it says, how can I get right with God? And that's the question.
In regards to our topic on today is that, number one, trusting God. Okay, see, sin is a trust issue, and sin is not just a trust issue. Sin is a nature issue. And when we become more spiritual, we become less fleshly. And as we become more spiritual, then God can use us more. And as God uses us more, we become right with God. When we understand that he comes first and we come second, then we get right with God. When we understand that we can't do anything in and of ourselves, but we can do all things through God and through the Spirit, then we become right with God. We become right with God when we understand that we have to become balanced again and not be body, soul, and spirit, but be spirit, soul, and then body. Okay? We had it on a few shows a week back, is that we become right with God when we're fed properly. We can't feed our spirit once a week, just on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be fed properly. Read the Bible. Pray to God daily. Talk to God daily. Get into the scriptures. Sing a song unto the Lord. The power of music and those encourage us. And then detoxify yourself. And what I mean by that is allow the Lord through the Holy Spirit to remove things from you that cloud your judgment, that cloud your thought process, okay, and that mess with your mental faculties and capabilities. And that means removing yourself from people, removing yourself from things that you hear that aren't right, remove yourself from things that you see that aren't right, remove yourself from environments that aren't right. And so God never leaves us because he's everywhere. What he does is that he becomes silent to us when he sees that we're rejecting him. And as we come closer to him, he comes closer to us. And what that means is that he's not far away from us. He just reveals himself more to the believer that's hungry and that's thirsting after him. That's the answer.
Mm. Okay. Now, I have another question. It indicates when we talk about the favor of God, does God have favorites? Meaning, does he favor one more than others? Do we have favorites?
No. What it is that God blesses us according to our several abilities, and that's what we have to understand. When God says he won't put no more on us than we can bear, most people don't understand that. That's both good and bad. Christians hear that scripture, and they just say, oh, he ain't going to put no more than I can bear. That's good and bad. It's positive and negative. It's pro and con. If you don't have Mercedes-Benz money right now, God's not going to give you a Mercedes-Benz. That's a problem for you. If you can't pay the rent in an apartment, God is not going to bless you with a big old house right now where you can't pay a mortgage. It's going to hurt you, okay? And so we have to understand that as believers. And so when there's two pastors on a corner, one on this corner, one on that corner, they both love the Lord, and now the Lord explodes this ministry, and he has 1,000 members, and this ministry has, you know, 50 members. And people start talking, well, he's more blessed. Well, he has more favor. Well, you know, obviously that pastor is sinning. And it's not. God blesses us according to our several abilities. Both of them may love the Lord equally and compassionately. Both of them may, you know, have an equal love for the people. But God may see within them abilities. God sees with them, okay, their desire. God sees the wisdom level and things. And God doesn't put on them more than they can bear. And so, you know, we must understand as believers and not be covetous and not be envious of people. And so many people are envious of other people's gifts, and we shouldn't be. If you have faith over and you give God what he's giving you, God will bless you with more.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, perhaps it's interesting because, like I said, I always, when I'm talking to my, I call her my sister from another mother, Dr. Lisa Romaine, and she was the one to always tell me God can trust you. He can trust you with this. And I used to be like, but trust me with what? And, you know, I've always had individuals tell me things because I just do things. And I would just do it and didn't know why I was doing it. And I would say I was being obedient because I know I serve a higher power and I have a lot of responsibilities on me. And I just make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So at the end, it can be well done, my good and faithful servant. But by that same token, it doesn't mean that what people, what they see. My mother used to always say, what you see is what you get. But then that's not always true because sometimes you can't let them see all of it because they may not be able to handle it because, like you said, people will think you're crazy. People will think you're being dishonest, and that's not true. Now, when we're talking about just no stopping me now, and I know we only have 3 minutes left on the show, Charlene,
yeah.
Do you have any questions
about that? No, I mean, he pretty much just, you know, summed it all up. You know, I was thinking about when he was talking about the favor, and, you know, I know so well about that, you know, because I know with some things that happened in my life personally that I know God did it. I know God was the reason that it happened for me because I know in 2008 I had got a felony on my name. And I was very stressed out about it. I was in a depressed state because I was told that I couldn't get my real estate license. And I remember going before the Lord, and I remember confessing and telling the Lord that I did some stuff, and I was wrong. I was being stupid, and I made a mistake. And God gave me favor with that to where I kept going to the courthouse, and the district attorney's like, you can't just come to the courthouse. The case is closed. You can't come. And I told her, well, I want to talk to judge myself. And she said, well, we don't do that, Mrs. Fleming. You just can't come in here wanting to get on calendar. The case is closed. I said, ma'am, all I'm asking you is if you let me go before this judge and let me speak for myself, please, you know, do something. So she said, okay, I'll give you a call and I'll let you know if I can get you on calendar. Mm-hmm. So she called me in the week and she told me that she wasn't able to get me anything, but she'll still keep trying. Well, I was the type of person that I kept looking on the court records, and I kept looking on the court records, and I seen a court date, and she didn't call and tell me that there was a court date. And I showed up to court, and I remember going to court, and the judge called me up to the podium, and he said, oh, okay. He said, you're public defender, because I had a public defender. He said, she's not in here, so I'm going to have you go sit back down, and I'm going to call another case. And he called the other case, and I remember sitting in that courtroom, and I was just praying, and I was like, Lord, you know what it is. You know what I did. Because sometimes, like I tell people, we have to tell God the truth. God already knows what we did, but we have to confess that thing to him. And I told God the truth. And I'm going to tell you, when that judge called me back up, he said, what can I do for you today, Mrs. Fleming? I said, Your Honor, I'm trying to get my real estate license, and I'm not able to get my real estate license because I have this felony, and they don't let you get the license with the felony. And he looked down at my case, and he said, you know what I'm going to do for you? He said, I'm just going to dismiss this off your record like it never happened. And the first thing I called was Jesus. That was the first thing I said, Jesus, because I know that he had did it. Even to the point where I had the favor because when they put me on the probation, all that was taken away immediately. I didn't do the 5 years. I think I did like a year, and I went and I was taken off of that. And so God was showing me the steps, but I had to trust the process. And the process was, okay, you're going to go through this, but you better learn something from it. And I promise you, after that day, I ain't never did that again in my life. I ain't never thought about doing anything crazy. And I respect this real estate license to the point I'm not doing nothing crazy. I'm not doing no underhand stuff. If God ain't telling me to do it, I'm not doing it. I don't care about
Amen.
No money. I don't want the money that bad because I know what God did for me to get this license. Because he did it, not man. Even to the point where I got favored with the real estate board. The board told me that they was going to give me a conditional license. Then they told me at first they couldn't give me a license. And I talked to a supervisor in Sacramento, and she told me to call back on Monday, and I'm going to talk to the supervisor, and then they're going to send me to San Diego to sit before a panel. Well, when I called back on Monday, she didn't answer the phone, and so another lady called me, and she said, Charlene, I got some news for you. And I told her, is it bad news? Because I can't take any more bad news. She said, no, actually, I got good. I want to be the one to tell you, we're giving you your real estate license, and it will not be conditional.
Got you. Let me tell you something, because we never went over the show. Let me
yep.
say this, because I wanted to interject and say this. There is ways that if you feel that you cannot get your license or start your business, you can always go back to court and petition the court under 1202.3 of the Penal Code, where you can
yeah.
get a felony misdemeanor. You can get your probation dismissed early. A lot of times
yeah.
people get discouraged. Even when they're doing these classes, it's not about punishment. It's about education. So when
yeah.
you get a mentor, you learn. When you know better, you do better. So I know we went
yeah.
over the time of the show, so I'm glad thank
God bless
you for sharing your testimony. If you have
yeah.
any questions, they also have
powerful
clinics for individuals that have felonies
yeah.
on their record. They can go to these clinics and workshops to get all of that stuff resolved.
Yeah.
You can also
yeah.
ask for a partner. There's a lot of different things you can do. So I want to thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio as we talk about from the pulpit to the couch. And next week, Pastor, we're going to be talking about paying the price. Because there is
yeah.
a price
yeah,
that we have
you.
To pay. So until
yeah.
then,
yeah.
we look forward to hearing from you at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bless
yeah.
you.
Bye.